Thank you so much. Worship team, stay up here.
Yes.
Hey, we're getting ready to go into our confession. How many of you are excited to be here at midweek tonight?
Yeah.
Hey, we want to welcome all of you who are here live and those watching online.
Hello.
If it is your very first time, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
We do this thing at the beginning of every service where we say a confession. It's a positive faith confession over our life, heart, and minds. So grab the hand of the person next to you and repeat.
Let's do this.
Those words on 3, 2, 1.
I'm here on purpose because I have a purpose.
My heart is open. My mind is ready to receive. Because God is not finished with me yet. My best days are right in front of me. And I have victory in my life. Because Jesus lives in me. Let's give it up.
All right.
Thank you, worshiping. Go ahead, take a seat.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First service after conference, and you're back.
Wow.
Good for you.
Hey, did anyone have an incredible time at conference? Maybe God said, spoke something?
Nice.
Yes. She raised up her Bible. You brought a physical Bible. You heard what Bill Johnson was
good
saying.
Good for you.
All right. You remember when Bill Johnson was like, all of you with digital Bibles. I mean, yeah, it's still the word. But that's pretty awesome, a physical Bible.
Absolutely.
You're actually going to have to use it tonight. Is that okay?
Okay, I hope good. So.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, my name is John.
My name is Arvin.
And we get to work here, serve here at Victory in our creative department at Victory. So the productions and conferences that you guys do, that's what we get to work on.
Yeah.
In fact, we just right now, I think we're doing, or maybe before this service, we did a script read-through of the next Easter production with the actors for Easter.
That's right.
Easter is actually earlier this year.
March 31st, Easter Sunday.
Yeah, so
if any of you know the guy or girl who schedules Easter every year, let me give us their number.
Because it's really early.
Because mid-April is awesome,
hard,
you know?
Yeah. Yes.
But it's early. That's all right. We're ready.
But if you want to still audition, it's an outreach that we do at a church. We actually have this link up here on the, put it up, link. Okay. Easter.
We'll find it.
They'll find it. Anyways, you can still audition the Easter link. Is it there? No? Okay. Well, if it goes up, you can still audition. We need you. We need people who can help out in wardrobe or serve in craft services, makeup. If you want to dance, act, or sing, we need you. It's a wonderful thing. There it is. If you take a picture of that, you
can
kind of submit. Even if you go, ooh, I don't want to be on stage, we actually have 150 crew people.
Yes.
And it's all volunteer. Everything that you see at a production is volunteer. We don't pay people. It is something that they feel in their heart that it is their way to serve. And it's a really beautiful thing.
And don't worry about the January 21st. That's 2025. Well, you got a year. I'm just kidding. But do it soon, because like a week or two is probably the real deadline.
And our favorite pastors. Can we give it up for Pastor Paul and Pastor Ashley Doherty?
Yeah.
We're so thankful.
I hope they're getting some rest.
They reached out to us, and they're like, can you speak at midweek? And we said no. And they said, well, you're going to. And we go, okay. You are our pastor.
We're literally our boss. So, yes, sir.
So, anyways.
No, it's a privilege.
We are grateful to be here. But before we get into the Word of God, okay, conference.
Yeah?
Break it down. All right.
Yeah.
So, did you have a favorite moment?
I really loved, I mean, every speaker is anointed. They're speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit, obviously. But Bill Johnson this year was a very unique thing for me. I really zoomed in on it. I stayed for the 9 and the 11 on Sunday. I wanted to hear the message twice. And now it's all up on YouTube. You can go watch them. I loved Bill Johnson.
Yes, so please go do that. Okay, who is your least favorite? Just kidding. Ease up. Don't say it.
I have no least favorite.
But they should loosen up. It's Wednesday
amazing.
Night.
Yeah.
So
welcome to
speaking of, sometimes at conferences, they are mountaintop moments that is wonderful to kick off our year. But does anyone have a post-conference kind of like, anyone? No? Okay.
Yeah,
so
thank you. Yeah.
Then I will be the only honest person. All right. So sometimes after mountaintop experience, whether it's finishing a marathon, a wedding day, after conference, you have this thing where sometimes, say it again. Yes. Okay. So what you try to do sometimes is that feeling that you got in the midst of it during that Holy Spirit moment, sometimes we try to recreate that out of our own flesh because we miss that feeling. But tonight we're actually going to be talking about that. Okay, for instance, conferences. So, all right, so how many conferences have you been in?
This was number 19 for me.
Okay.
Year.
How many of you guys have grown up or probably been to church for a long time and you've been to many conferences?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of hands.
Yeah, so you know what it's like.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so for me, since I grew up here and my parents were the pastors, this used to be called Word Explosion. It was over in the Mavie Center.
Anyone remember that?
Okay, yeah.
What up?
There was a guest speaker there named Tim Story. Tim Story, yeah, powerful guy. Okay, he would slay people in the spirit. Has anyone ever been slain? Where you, like, fall out?
Before Beyonce, there was Tim Story.
The Slay King. Okay. So, all right. I was one of those teenagers where I was like, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. Yeah, has anyone ever been that? Or is I'm the only honest person? Okay, good.
That's fair. Yeah.
All right. Especially if you're, like, not sure if it's real. I'm just going to be honest.
Please.
If you're like, I don't know if this is real. If people are just falling out because they're pushing them or whatever. But it was one of those things where I experienced the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I can't remember, maybe 14, and I fell out. Here's the thing that I'm upset about. No one got me when he started to preach. I am still on the carpet. At the Mabee Center. On the carpet. And all of a sudden, I come to. And I look around. No one else is slain. It happened at the beginning of a sermon. And he's preaching, and I'm like, I look up, and I go. Anyone ever done that to where you're like, I don't know, do I get up? Okay. You're like, do I get up? Do I stay? No. And I just pretended to be slain, and I look up, and my dad is sitting on the front row, and he connects eyes with me, and he goes, get up. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna get up. I was like, everyone will see me. And he goes, get up, get in the chair. I was like, so I start to army crawl. How many of you have been slain in the spirit, but you can still move?
But you're still in the Lord's army.
But you're still, but you're still in the Lord's army.
Love you, Jesus.
No, I remember slinking up to my chair, and my dad was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I was embarrassed. Anyways, random conference moments. And if you don't find that funny, you need a sense of humor. All right.
Go to more conferences.
Yeah.
Okay. This was my 19th conference. And it was 19 years ago at Word Explosion in the Mabee Center across the street that for the first time I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord. Thank you. 19 years. So every year conference is like an anniversary for me. I reflect. If you see me during worship, I'm reflecting on, wow, 19 years of this. But there is a story I want to tell you, but I need you to help me out first. You have to promise me, and I know you're watching online, so also you're in this too. The subject of my story is probably going to speak here again soon, and y'all need to promise me you will not tell him what I'm about to tell you, okay? Because every time John Bevere comes to victory.
John Bevere. Okay. Now we know.
Every time John Bevere comes to victory, I play it so cool. I'm very chill, and I go, oh, yeah, cool. But 12-year-old Arvin accepts Christ. He preached on Driven by Eternity. At conference, Word Explosion. And I go, Dad, we need to buy the curriculum. Because he had these curriculums, right? These DVDs that came with the book, the workbook. And it was like 12 weeks of me really learning about my faith from the material in Driven by Eternity. And then I got real obsessive. And I got to the point where I bought every book that John Bevere had ever written. And I bought every book that Lisa Bevere had ever written. My friends were telling me, Arvin, you're not a Christian. You're a Beverian. And I was like, that's fair, it's facts, it's okay. And then, you know how some kids will, they will lip sing songs? What's up? You guys know what I'm about to say? They would lip sing songs. I would memorize John Bevere's sermons. And I would buy clothes that were like his clothes. Because you remember, everyone was doing suits, and then this dude pulled up in like a nice button-up, and we were like, we can do that? And everyone started dressing like him. And back then it was cool. He had like a design on the back. If you're wearing that tonight, it's still very cool. sorry, I almost walked into that. But then I bought pointy-toed white dress shoes.
And I was 12-year-old.
12 years old.
Okay.
My parents were like, wow, he's really changed. Because this is how it happened. My parents became friends with John's parents. And my Pastor Billy Joe said to my dad, who's the Iranian pastor here at Victory, he said to him, hey, Word Explosion's coming up. Please join us. Come sit by us. And my dad looked at Pastor Billy Joe and said, can I bring my son? He's a bit of a Tasmanian devil. And Pastor Billy Joe looked at my dad. He looked at his son, and he goes, I think I've got a Tasmanian devil of my own. Bring him. Absolutely. 19 years later, we're preaching at midweek. What's up, bro?
All right.
Absolutely.
Tasmanian angels now. All right, we changed
Tasmanian
the confession.
Angels. But yeah, I would lip preach his messages. My parents would open the door of my bedroom, and I'd just be like, sorry. And then they go, are you lip preaching John Bevere? And I go, I am. And I can still do it now. I'm not going to, but I could. But that's, you know why it was? It was a 12-year-old kid who experienced something miraculous at Word Explosion. It was a beautiful moment where this 12-year-old raised in a pastor's home was like, this is real. I believe in this, actually. And I wanted to replicate that feeling. And that's the temptation for most of us when we have mountaintop moments where we experience God's presence in a unique and incredible way. And we did it just now at conference. And if you weren't at conference, get on YouTube and watch the messages. You'll see what I mean. And then afterward, you're like, I guess I have to find a way to feel that way again. How do I do that? That's actually not what God's designed us for.
Yeah, that is where our humanity kind of gets in the way. It is, as you guys know, what Pastor Paul has preached about, feelings over faith. Faith is kind of a decision. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Well, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the disciples actually experienced something similar to this. So the disciples had to learn this lesson after they witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop. All right? So, but there were two other people that appeared on this mountaintop that had mountaintop experiences. Moses and Elijah. If you know, those of you who know about the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah had mountaintop experiences. Did it end the right way for them? It is unique that those were the two prophets that met Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration. So before we get into this, this is the whole point, is that this is conference postpartum. That's the title for tonight. Postpartum is that feeling. Now, here's the thing. I haven't had a kid.
Neither
I haven't had a baby. Have you given birth?
Never.
Never. I hear it's tough.
Right?
But the feelings after that, after giving birth to something new that God has done in you, it is conflicting. But there's this new thing in your life. So now, what do we do with it? So this is what we're here to say, is that Jesus came to take us from self-pity to self-mastery. From what happened to what is happening. And from insecurity to intimacy. That's where Jesus is taking us. So we're going to go ahead and pray and then get into the Word. Lord, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit tonight, speaking through your scripture to every single person in this room and online. We thank you, Lord God, that you know where every single soul in this room is at, and every single mind and emotion. And so I thank you, Lord, that your Word is actually like a sword. And so it's going to cut through the flesh to the bone and exactly where we need you. And so we welcome your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to Luke 9, 28 through 40.
Yeah, wasn't it fun? It's always fun when new speakers, like, experience that, what you just did. It's fun to watch. Thank you for doing it.
Luke 9, verse 28 to 40.
I'll read this.
Yeah, and there's going to be moments where we say highlight this or underline this. So
yeah, so get your pens, pencils, highlighters, and if you're using digital, your fingers ready. Yeah. Verse 28 of Luke 9, about 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, everyone say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see. They were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the others had fallen asleep. When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, blurted out, "Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah."
So underline verse 33, what Peter said.
But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them.
Now underline overshadowed them.
And terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. They didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
So the unique thing about that is we all saw what Peter wanted to do. There was this mountaintop, wonderful moment. And what did Peter want to do? He wanted to stay there. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that's not God's will for our life. We are going, his will is for us to go from glory to
glory.
Glory. And can I just say to every person in this room, do you believe that your best days are in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is that faith rising up. Has anyone been through some stuff and have questioned if their best days are in front of them? That's also human. So you look at the other two individuals on this. So what Peter wanted, it came out of, Peter once said to Jesus, he said, "I've left everything." Peter said that, "I've left everything, and I'm following you." That's beautiful. Now think about that from the human perspective. You're all that I have. Don't leave. They're not going to kill you. I'll kill them if they try to kill you. So is that love or is that from an insecure place? It is unique to look at the words from Peter. We should do this. You go, yeah, but where is that coming from? Motive behind the words of people, even like motives behind Peter, you can kind of see. Like where he is at and what he's grabbing for. Even Jesus said one time, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why did he say that? He wasn't saying that to Peter. He was saying it to the spirit of insecurity on the inside of him. Yeah. Because what did he respond to? What did Peter say to Jesus whenever he said that? Bible scholars? Say it. "Not so, Lord." Right. Jesus was explaining his will, and Peter wanted to protect him. But that was coming from, hold on, nothing can happen to you because I've attached everything to you, which is not bad. But Jesus was looking to make that transition to the Holy Spirit with Peter. And so Jesus knew that. So he was like, "Bro, get behind me, Satan." Because the motive that you're saying that, it actually sounds good, but there's a deeper insecurity that's coming from you. So then you look at Elijah on the mountain. Elijah was a great prophet. God used him. He was a mighty man of the Old Testament. But what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings 19? Now, this is in the Old Testament. You can just write that scripture. You can go back and look at it. 1 Kings 19, he ran away because he was terrified of Jezebel. He was insecure of Jezebel. He was terrified. He was scared. And he was running for his life. He hid out in the cave. All of a sudden, he had this conference experience with God. Maybe you guys have heard this scripture, that he was standing on the mouth of this cave, this mountain,
And what appeared before him? Fire, wind, an earthquake. This is all in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19. You can write it down or you can read it. Well, then it says, a still small voice. Can you imagine being there and experiencing that? Like in 2024, imagine you on Turkey Mountain. And then that happens. You would be freaking out, right? Guess what his response was? After God literally talked to him, his response was, God said, now speak. And he was like, well, everyone wants to kill me. And I'm bummed. And I'm sad and anxious and depressed. His response was self-pity after experiencing a moment. Have you missed out on moments because of your self-pity? Because you've been looking inward instead of looking at the awe-inspiring moments that God is trying to do to you. Literally, a still small voice talked to this dude on a mountaintop, and then God literally told him, talk, and the first thing came out of his mouth was like, meh, shucks, poor me, woe is me. Listen, so the thing is that self-pity overcame his self-mastery. Elijah was threatened and intimidated by Jezebel. So insecurity enslaves us to pity and robs us of mastery. Elijah pitied himself atop a mountain, and so God actually had to tell him to anoint Elisha to replace him. That's in 1 Kings 19. So I know in my personal life, we had some people raise their hands if things have happened to them, if they've been through some stuff. My marriage ended in 2019, and it devastated me, completely wrecked me. Anyone else in here went through a divorce? Okay, yeah, in church. Guess what? You're welcome. We love you. God has a plan for your life. And there's a life after divorce. Yeah. But when that happens, I believe in the grief process, a temptation can be, woe is me. God can never use me because of what I've been through. Right? And if you say that that's not real, I don't believe you. You're lying in the house of God. No, I call bull. Because this is the reason. It's because the devil wants to lie to you to ultimately destroy you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to lie to you and say, yeah, you are a piece of crap. That's why it ended. And if anyone has ever felt like that, now you know it's a lie. Because that's not what the Word of God says. So, the first thing that a temptation could be is self-pity. Now, then you have to ask yourself, wait a second, is there another option? Well, yeah, for me, in my personal life, I have 3 kids. That is what I have control over. So I could be, an option would be a single dad with 3 kids. A single guy with 3 kids, or I could be like, I'm gonna be the best dad in the world. Yeah. Not because I pulled myself up on my bootstraps, but because I've invited the Holy Spirit to overshadow me.
Yeah.
Whenever the Holy Spirit is absent, it is stressful. You will find yourself at the front of a cave. You will find yourself at conference and hear a beautiful word and in one ear out of the other. Have you ever been through something so bad that something great could be happening and you feel nothing? Yeah. Any feel nothing people? Okay. At least you're honest. That is a temptation. That is self-pity. And there's a version of you you've never met before. And that's where self-mastery comes in. Now, self-mastery is not from self. Who made you? The master. So when God gets involved in your process and you just say, Holy Spirit, I'm surrendering all this to you. Yes, I have every right to be upset at myself, mad at myself, self-destructive thoughts, all of those things. And you offer them up to God and you go, but there's another option. And that option takes a decision. That is moving from feelings into faith, from insecurity, from self-pity,
to self-mastery. It's taking back control of your inner world by surrendering it to God daily. You know, self-pity is about what someone else did to you. Self-mastery is about what God can equip you to do. Guess what? You are not what's been done to you. That's not you. You are not what's happened to you. People love to make it their personality. But do you know what I've been through? Do you know what I've been done to you? Yeah, life's tough. Get a helmet. Like, that doesn't mean that you have to stay there. And that is why, as believers, anyone that you see through that, do not let them stay there. If they're your friend, if you're a real friend, you go, stop. Hey, come to church with me. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I know that there's the stage of grief. Don't be mean. But you just can't put up with that because that's lies. And so there is a surrendering to it. We can oftentimes be like Elijah, but we don't have to be. We can take ownership of our inner world and surrender it to Jesus, from self-pity to self-mastery with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. So that's what happens with Elijah. He starts out well. He doesn't end as well as he starts. But that's why Jesus pulls up on the mountain of transfiguration. I will correctly finish what you started. The same thing happens on the other side with Moses. In Moses' case, God takes him from what's happened to what's happening. Here's the problem with Moses. I think the majority of you here and watching online are familiar with Moses' story. There's a chance you may not be. So let me summarize real quick. Moses delivers God's people from Egypt. He takes them out of Egypt, slavery in Egypt, through the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. And then where does he lead them? You would think the promised land, but he never goes to the promised land. Do you want to know why he didn't go to the promised land? Something happens at the end of Moses' life that mirrors something that happened at the beginning. And God wanted to provide for his people the way he had been the whole time. But he wanted to heal an insecurity in Moses that Moses was not willing to see healed. See, what we tend to do when we go to conferences, when we have these church services, when we have these events in the Christian life, is we go, okay, these people are doing awesome things. I want to do awesome things. I agree. And God, through all of us, will do awesome things. Amen? Fantastic. I'm glad we agree. But the next phase, the complexion of the Christian life that I believe we're going to head into in the next several decades, is an understanding of the identity out of which we are operating in the things that we do. Because how many of us have seen people do amazing things and then you read about what really happened in their life privately? I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm looking at myself. So what happens with Moses is that at the beginning, when God calls him, God goes, hey, I want you to lead my people. I want you to speak on my behalf. What does Moses say?
I'm good.
No, pick someone else. God goes, no. I've been working on this. It's you. Moses says, but I stutter. I'm not mocking anyone who has one. I wanted to exemplify that for you. He goes, I can't. I stammer when I speak. Exodus 4:11, you know what God says to Moses? He goes, who makes mouths? I made your mouth. I can fix it. But here's what's wild. The best version of the end of that story would be, oh, and then God heals Moses' mouth. He leads God's people into the promised land. Awesome. It's not what happens. 40 years. He speaks through Aaron. God goes, fine. There's Aaron. He speaks well. Check this out in Exodus 4. Great. I'll use him. I'll speak through him. And then he gives Moses something. He gives him a staff. And every single thing that Moses does for the rest of his ministry on earth, he does with that staff in his hand. And the staff that would one day prop him up and keep him standing and demonstrate the power of God eventually becomes the crutch that keeps him from entering the promised land. He worshiped what happened instead of believing God for what could be happening. Sometimes when we have these amazing experiences in church, and I pray they never end, we leave, we go home, and we go, okay, I'll just replicate that feeling. And God's going, what about what I want to happen in your car ride home? What about what I want to happen after you log off of this and you think about other websites you might log on to. What about where I want to meet you there? I want to heal the thing that you're privately scared will never get fixed. So at the beginning of his ministry, God goes, take this staff. The people of God are thirsty. They didn't have Fiji back then. So strike the rock, and water will pour out, and we'll have enough clean drinking water for several million people. It happens. It's beautiful. They write it down. At the tail end of his ministry, God goes, all right, Moses, my people are thirsty again. This time, go on that mountain and speak to it. Don't strike it. In other words, trust me. I'll fix it. Let all of those people see your insecurity. Trust me. I will heal you. What does Moses do? He strikes it. He relies on what worked before instead of what God's doing now. Go look at this in Numbers 20. God then goes to him and says, okay. He still gives the drinking water to his people. He takes care of his people. But what he says to Moses now is, I can no longer trust you to steward the leadership of my people because what they're about to have to go through will demand complete and utter obedience. Do you know that after Moses is Joshua? And what do they do after when Joshua leads them? They go to the... And on the way there, they stop in Jericho. And what do they have to do on the way to Jericho? They have to scream and shout. I need your mouth surrendered to me. I can't talk. I can't talk. Look, it's amazing to me what God will do with people, the staff, the power that he'll give them. It's awesome. But I assure you, as someone who has grown up in church, has the privilege of serving at a wonderful church, what he wants to do privately within you is far more amazing. But Moses fails in that category. So let me read this to you and move on. Moses gave up when he was more loyal to what happened before than what God wanted to do next. Insecurity enslaves us to what happened and robs us of what could happen next. God wanted to provide for his people and heal Moses' insecurity. It didn't happen. He struck the rock. He said, I'm going to rely on what happened instead of what's happening. How many of us right now are so grateful for conference, so grateful for victory, but that's something that's happened? What about what God wants to do the week after conference? What about what God wants to do a week from now? Look, I love services. I love weekend services. I love midweek. But there are more days in the week. You have jobs to go to and families to raise and lives to live. God wants to show up there just as, or if not more gloriously than he did during conference. I'm sitting there with all of you watching Bill Johnson say things that makes me go, wow, I can't believe this. This is so profound. The word of God is so incredible. It's so amazing. But God, can you do that at my house? That's when things change. So when Jesus pulls up to the Mountain of Transfiguration with Elijah and with Moses, he goes, what you guys started and didn't finish, I'm here to finish. I'm going to move you from what's happened to what's happening. I'm going to move you from insecurity to intimacy with me. John's going to tell you about that.
So as we come to a close, we go back to that scripture on the transfiguration of Peter wanting to camp out. It's because he was like, you know, he thought it was the right thing to do, but God always knows the motives of our heart. He doesn't just pay attention to our words. Does that make sense? And then you see one person who showed up on the mountain. You saw Elijah. You're like, man, in 1 Kings 19, this guy missed a whole moment because he was feeling sorry for himself. And then he had to anoint Elisha. And then Moses missed his moment and, you know, it went to Josh. Jesus was the one who's like, anything that happened on the mountaintop of your life, I will finish, not you. Because whenever we feel that pressure, that's when we try to force and manipulate things that God started. And when you do that, you end up resenting the thing that you forced. You end up disliking yourself because deep down inside you're like, I forced this to happen. Has anyone ever tried to force favor?
Yikes.
In the Bible, favor rests. Favor is not forced, it rests. The things that you're believing for, the things that you really want to see done, you know, by God's will, if they are God's will, they will happen, and it'll be through the Holy Spirit. So this final moment, I'm going to call up the worship team, is the last one is Jesus wants to move us from insecurity to intimacy, is that final point. Insecurity enslaves us to self-pity. It enslaves us to self-pity. It keeps us from owning our role and surrendering our lives daily to Jesus and following him daily. It keeps us from seeing Jesus do what he's always done while healing us from what's always plagued us. You know, conference and mountaintop moments are a gift from God, like Arvin was saying. Yeah. But their purpose is to usher us from insecurity from within ourselves to intimacy with Jesus. I want to go back to this final, I want to go back to the scripture, Luke 9:34. But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them. Where have we seen overshadowed before? Mary. The birth. The birth of Mary. God appeared to Mary. An angel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And her response out of insecurity, how can this be? I'm just a virgin. And he said, listen, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. What God wants to birth on the inside of you so that we don't have postpartum will be done through the Holy Spirit. It will be an overshadowing. And that's the invitation. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. So what I want to invite us all to do tonight is I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes throughout the room. And those of you online, just kind of look introspectively. And I want to ask if you are in this room and you have allowed possibly whether it is self-pity or anger from something that has happened to you, or maybe something from the past that has kept you from surrendering or becoming intimate with Jesus. If that's you in this room, if you have dealt with those insecurities, I want you to raise your hand all over the room. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And here's the thing, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means that you're human, because I am also raising my hand. If you're in this room and maybe you have said, there are things that I need to surrender that I have yet to surrender to Jesus, and I know it's keeping me from real intimacy. If that's you in this room, raise your hand. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. What I'm going to ask us to do is I want us all to stand up. And as we stand up, we're actually going to pray. And those of you who raised your hands, I want you to come down front, right where you're at. This is a bold move, but I want you, if you raised your hand, you know who you are. I want you to make your way down front because we want to pray with you. We're going to make this altar a time of surrender and a time to get close. Yeah, let's clap it up. Let's celebrate those who are making a bold statement. If you're in this room and there's some things that you know, I have to lay this down at Jesus' feet because I've been dealing with weird atmospheric things, possible lies that I've been listening to about myself, self-destructive thoughts, maybe things that lies from the enemy, whatever it is. What we're going to do is we're going to begin praying for those down front. If you are someone who has a conviction in your heart, a Holy Spirit conviction, and you feel like you want to come down and pray for these people, I want to invite you to come down and stand behind someone and pray for them. Because the last thing we need is someone to be alone in this. And we're going to go into a worship song. And what this worship song is, it is a song of surrender.
And this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment, we're going to worship, and then we're going to close out in prayer. But I want to encourage you, even if you did not come down, there are things that we all need to surrender. So let's begin with our mouths. Begin to surrender and verbally speak out those things that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us in our hearts. Everyone who's watching online and those of you who are here tonight, it's the love of Jesus that turns us to repent. No one is pointing any fingers at anyone in here. But I do believe some of you who go, I don't really know what the Holy Spirit is. I don't know if it's like a thing. It is a person in the Bible. That's what it says. And when Jesus finished the work, what did he give the disciples? The Holy Spirit to comfort, to correct, to convict. And so whenever you welcome it, you can ask. You don't need no pastor to ask. You don't need a church to tell you. Just say, Holy Spirit,
I welcome you into my surrender, into my heart, into my mind, into my soul. I want you to speak to me. Those of you who want to say this prayer, and those of you who came down, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I surrender my insecurities. I surrender my self-pity. I surrender my past, good and bad. Holy Spirit, help me live present in what you want to do now. My heart is yours. Jesus, you are King of my heart. I repent and I turn to you. Thank you for your love. In the name of Jesus. What I believe right now is I believe that all of us are going to experience a supernatural love of Jesus. The one thing that's so great about the disciple John, and I know Pastor Paul has shared this before, is that he was the disciple. He's like, I'm the one who Jesus loves. Jesus said, I love you. He said that to everyone. John's the only one who took it personal. You know? Imagine if Judas would have took it personal. Imagine if Peter would have took it personal. And again, no one is at wrong. What I'm asking is just a perspective shift of where we're at. That mountaintops are beautiful, but there is a work that has already begun in you. And he who began a good work in you is. So the completion is going to be happening. I believe it. I truthfully believe it. And so this is what I want us to do, how we are going to close out, is I really, really love closing out on conversation and community. So I'm going to pray. And when I'm done praying, I'm going to have you turn to that person next to you, even if you're not at the altar, so even if you're sitting out there. And I want you to ask this question. Because if we never ask this question, we're not trained to listen. I want you to ask this question. What was the Holy Spirit telling you tonight? I want you to ask that question, even if you go, I don't know. I want you to say, what was the Holy Spirit? Because if we don't ask that question, we'll never listen. So tonight is a good night to start. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Allow them to answer, then you answer, then say, okay, let's pray and pray. Can we do that? Because that's how we're going to dismiss tonight. Because the people around you, these people, even someone who may not believe, if you're in here, I want you to try this as a science experiment and see what happens. Those of you watching online, I want you to talk about it in the chat. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Lord, I thank you for the love of Jesus on every single human being in here tonight and those online. I thank you, Lord God, that they experience your overshadowing. Lord, that they are rest assured and they feel a supernatural grace and peace as they're going out through the rest of their week, Lord, and joy. And we thank you for more laughter than we've had before. In the name of Jesus, amen.